All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Living the dream, baby.
Man.
David, I want to get right into the news.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Because, you know, I'm all about hard-hitting journalism.
Mm.
And I don't want to, like, freak anybody out.
Well,
I've got some news to share.
Okay.
Should I just dive right into it?
You should hit me with hard.
Here we go. It's now May.
Color me freaked in.
It's freaking May, David.
What? How? When did that happen?
I mean, apparently sometime shortly after April ended.
That doesn't... I don't know about that.
I was minding my own business, and it was like January, February, and I was thinking about these things that I'm going to do before Memorial Day. And I don't know, I was kind of just going through life, minding my own business, and the next thing you know, somebody was like, oh yeah, well, you know... We're done with April, so we're going to have May now. And I was like, well, shit, man. Where does that leave me?
Did you see a bunch of Justin Timberlake memes and stuff?
Oh, I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because you need to explain that joke to me because I saw the memes all over the internet and they totally went over my head. What is the deal? What am I missing?
Well, he has a song... I think it was whatever band he was in. What is it? 98 Degrees, whatever.
Okay.
And in the song, he says, it's going to be me. But he says, it's going to be May. And so
gotcha.
It's like, yeah.
All right. You know, I think it's like me to that meme is like the people who don't get the May the 4th be with you memes that are going to come out the day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're like, I don't get it.
What's it have to do with Star Wars?
I don't even like Star Trek.
Look, I know you started us off with some weird news.
Right.
Let me give you some news. I hope it's not too much of a downer for you.
Okay, but real quick before you do that, I have to tell you
how
much you and I are always on the same page because you put a headline in the news pretty far down towards the bottom.
Okay.
That I saw the same headline and I was like thinking to myself, nobody cares. I didn't even bother putting it in the news. David put it in the news and said, next after the headline, literally no one cares. So that's just something to look forward to towards the end of the news segment. But by all means, please lead us off on the news of the day.
All right. According to a new report from Collider, Noah Centineo is no longer playing He-Man in the Masters of the Universe film.
Is it pronounced Collider or Collider?
It's pronounced Collender.
So Noah Centineo, which, by the way, cool name, bro.
Yeah.
He's no longer playing He-Man. Wouldn't he, if he was playing He-Man, wouldn't that have made him the star of the movie?
Yeah.
So the star of the upcoming Masters of the Universe film is out.
Right. He's no longer in.
Are you in?
They're tapping me for Skeletor.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
They said I have the body for it.
So. Right. So what did he say?
They said I had the body for it.
No, what did Noah Centineo say?
No, he's just out. There wasn't really any other news about it. He's just no longer with the film. He decided to leave it. So it's not filming or anything. They're still casting. So.
Okay. So this isn't that big of a deal.
No, it's not. But honestly, it's Masters of the Universe. I wonder how good it's going to be. But apparently... Masters of the Universe has a huge, like, strong fan base.
I tell you, I ever since Pirates of the Caribbean, I treat the title with respect until they give me something not to love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think Masters of the Universe as a product has unlimited potential. If they do it right, they could do it great.
Yeah.
And this is not a DC or Marvel thing. This is just out there.
It's its own. It's well,
that's refreshing.
It falls in the same realm as, like, is it Hasbro or Mattel or one of the toy companies owns it?
So it's like in the Transformers universe.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Hypothetically.
Similar type thing.
Yeah, so what they're going to do is make one amazing movie and then eight more that suck.
Right.
Okay. Right. It's kind of refreshing, though, like, all kidding aside, that you can judge a movie based on the movie rather than through the lens of DC versus Marvel.
Mm. Well, this is a harsh nostalgia lens on it, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I'm going to start calling it Marvel. I'm going to see if they report that on Collider. I'm going to ask them. The correct
podcast host starts calling Marvel.
And gains traction. Kevin Feige is pissed.
Disney lawyers out in flocks against
right.
him.
Right. All right. Well, there's big sequel news, but before we get to that, David Cronenberg, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
David Cronenberg is making a new movie. It's his first movie in 7 years, but it's his first science fiction movie in 22 years. It's called Crimes of the Future, and this cast looks pretty amazing. It's Viggo. I saw Viggo Mortensen, and I started thinking Parmesan. Viggo Mortensen, Lea Seydoux, Kristen Stewart, and more. And what are you telling me? You're telling me this is a remake?
But here's the thing. It's not just a remake. It's a remake of his own film.
Interesting. Like Taylor Swift.
What?
Taylor Swift had this amazing album, and it came out and was produced by the record company.
Okay.
Right? Now that she's hot shit and can do whatever she wants, she remade the entire album. And it's called, I forget the name of the album, but it's like name of the album, and then the subtitle is Taylor's Version.
Oh. Wow.
So this is exactly the same thing. David Cronenberg is he's redoing his own movie.
You know a lot about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I do. I stand by it. She's incredible.
I mean, I'm not denying that. I'm just surprised at how much information that you easily had to recall about Taylor Swift. May not be able to tell if a trailer is real, but by God, he knows the difference between studio Taylor Swift and independent Taylor Swift.
Would it surprise you to know that I've seen her in concert? I think
no.
I think a few times. I think the girls and I went. I know we went for sure once, but I think we've been a couple times. Her and Carrie Underwood. Yeah, I dig it, man. Taylor Swift is supremely talented.
I
like genuine. Yeah. And she's one of the most genuine stars out there, I think.
Now, what do we know about David Cronenberg?
I know that he's making a new movie after 7 years.
I knew that he was a director. I couldn't tell you a single movie that he made.
Okay.
I know that he was in the last season of Star Trek Discovery, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, David Cronenberg's in Star Trek.
Wait, he was in it?
Yeah, he plays a reoccurring character.
Okay.
And he was awesome. His character was cool, and I really liked his character. I don't know what his name is, because everything I watched that, you know, behind the scenes stuff just referred to him as David Cronenberg and not his actual character name. But he was cool. So, whatevs.
So he's an actor and director.
I don't know if he's always an actor, but he acted in.
Right. No, Discovery. But he has acted.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his original Crimes of the Future?
No, because I didn't even know he made a movie called Crimes of the Future.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
I do know what it's about, because I looked into it. And apparently it was about some sort of dermatologist is trying to find someone in a world where all the women have died.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That sounds like an awful world.
Sounds like a Why the Last Man type of thing. So
yeah,
we'll see. But let me bring you back to some real news. The
Please.
Big news, the top, top of the line news.
Right. Right.
The news we need. The Meg 2 begins filming in January 2022. We are less than a year away from being probably about a year to a year and a half away from the Meg 2.
Well, those of us who listen to the show will now they know that it's already May. So yeah. we're well under a year. You're talking like 7 months and we're going to be a year or two away. That's just, I can't, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Those are definitely measurements of time. Right? Right. We can agree. Those are our measurements of time. And I can look forward to time moving.
you know what's wild? So we saw the Meg, right?
Yeah.
I would have said that we also saw the sequel to the Meg. I saw this headline, The Meg 2 Begins Filming in January, and I was like, didn't we already see this movie?
Maybe you're getting the Meg, because we did review all the Deep Blue Sea movies. So maybe
that must be what I'm thinking
of. Yeah, that must be what you're thinking about.
It must be, but yeah. All right, well, good for the Meg. So yeah. let me drop some box office news
on
you.
Oh my gosh.
Now, again, sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about, but sometimes I do. And a couple two or three weeks ago, I was on this show and also on the radio talking about Demon Slayer. If it weren't for the screen count, it would be the number one movie in the country.
Right.
And it opened up last week against Mortal Kombat, and it came within pennies of being the number one movie. It was the number two movie. Well, it only took a week later for that to switch around. So Demon Slayer, the movie that I predicted doing super well, is in fact the number one movie in America.
Wow. Number one movie in America. Demon Slayer. Well, we're going to talk about Demon Slayer later, for sure. delicious.
So, I mean, I think the reason why this is interesting is because it's on paper. So let me back up. Okay, so let's give it some context.
Okay.
Some perspective.
All right.
Demon Slayer was the number one movie at the box office with $6.4 million gross.
Okay.
Which in April of a normal year, you gross $6 million, you're at the bottom of the ladder.
Right.
You're not the number one movie. So let's slow the roll just a little bit and take into account like, okay, these are strange times. It being number one in April of 21, or now May, I should say, does not mean the same thing it means in being number one of 2019. So there's that. But there's also the fact that like, it's kind of like athletes say I can only race against the people who show up. So Demon Slayer, like they can only play against Mortal Kombat and some of the other titles, but what's interesting, so my point is, even though it's a unique time, it is still a very interesting development that a Japanese anime movie with English subtitles could be the number one movie in the country. I don't care how many qualifiers you put on that, that's an interesting development.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. I would have never guessed it'd be number one.
Right? And okay, so we're going to talk about Demon Slayer more in a few minutes, but I thought that was interesting. And the number two movie, of course, was Mortal Kombat, which we have a little bit of Mortal Kombat news for those of you who loved it. I think, what did we say last week? We didn't think it was a great movie, but we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right.
And we would look forward to sequels. So we're in luck because Sub-Zero actor Joe Taslim says that he is signed on, not one, not two, not three, Sub-Zero actor Joe Taslim says he is signed on for four sequels.
You ever watch the Screen Rant YouTube videos where it's pitch meeting?
No, but I love it already.
Yeah, there's like a billion of them. This guy churns them out, and they're like almost always hilarious. And what it is, is they're in the studio, and it's always him doing both characters. And he's in the studio, and one guy's pitching the movie, and the other guy's the movie exec, and they explain, like, the movie and, like, the plot holes, and they're just like, oh, we're just going to move past this. And the exec's like, well, I feel like that'd be a big deal. And the guy pitching it's like, look, you're going to have to get off my back about that. Let's just move on.
Right.
Well, literally, like, minutes before we started recording, they dropped the Mortal Kombat screen, the screen pitch.
Right.
And I watched it, and this headline was the punchline to the whole video, and I laughed pretty hard because the whole thing were like, well, he's like, well, see, the thing is, we killed all these characters, and you know, but death is just a portal, so we could make more. And the executive's like, executive goes, well, you know, let's not get crazy or anything. You know, let's see how this does. And the guy pitching it's like, but what if we did get crazy? And then it just shows the headline, signed on for four more films. So, yeah, hey, more Mortal Kombat on the way.
Yeah, so right. He's either going to not die, or every time he dies, we know that he's going to come back.
Right, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, Michael B. Jordan.
Speaking of coming back.
Right. He says there's no way he's coming back for Black Panther 2 as Killmonger. Or is he? Burr, burr,
burr. Did you read this article?
I didn't.
Okay. So it's real cutesy. Michael B. Jordan, obviously, he's doing the press circuit promoting his movie on Amazon and his television movie that he did in partnership with Paramount and some other formerly theatrical company. And he says in the interview, the interviewer says to him, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are the chances you come back for Black Panther 2 as Killmonger? And his answer on a scale of 0 to 10, his answer was 2.
Oh.
And he went on to explain, first of all, never say never, and second of all, it's a sequel, so 2 seems to go with Black Panther 2. And so on the one hand, what he said was clearly he's not coming back, but what the people were suggesting who were reporting this was that Marvel has such a good track record of keeping everything mysterious. And I forget the name of the guy who signed on to direct Black Panther 2. But apparently,
Cooper,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's who it is. Apparently him and Michael B. Jordan are like personal friends.
Oh, wow.
So if they wanted to keep the mystery and keep it a secret just between the two of them, or like the two of them and Kevin Feige, it, you know, given their closeness, it would be easy for them to keep that secret. With all that being said, Michael B. Jordan is saying, no, I'm not coming back for Black Panther 2, but whatever. We'll see. We'll see if he's just being cute or, you know, I don't, do you care? I don't really care. I mean, I like Michael B. Jordan and I think it'd be cool if he did come back, but whatever.
I don't think he needs to, but he is one of the few villains they didn't kill off.
Right, and one of the few Hollywood stars, you know, associated with the Black Panther franchise.
Can we talk about his new movie, the Tom Clancy film?
The TV show?
Yeah, the TV show.
Yeah,
for Amazon Prime.
Yep.
I spoke with my buddy, the Big O, a.k.a. Orlando.
Yeah, and that dude is huge.
Yeah,
he's huge. That's why everybody calls him the Big O.
Yeah, and his dad was there. Right? Yeah. His dad's name is also Orlando.
Yeah. So, Big O. Big yeah. O and Big O.
Right. So the Big O says, hey, look, don't watch this movie. I watched it with my dad. It's not good. But his dad looks at me and goes, no, watch this movie. It's really good. So it depends on how you look at it. 50% of the Orlandos say it's great, but only half the Orlandos would say it's horrible. So, you know, one out of two Orlandos says don't see it. 50% give it an A+. It's quite a rating system right there, right? I don't know which way to go.
That's brilliant. I really appreciate that you took the effort to break that down for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
The statistician in you really stepped up.
I know. I was going to make a one out. I'm going to see, you know, they're going to see the ads and it's like one out of two Orlando's recommends seeing this film.
The younger Orlando, is he's a little bit more picky, right?
One would say that he has standards.
Yeah. Yes.
Out.
Yes. I have standards too, so.
Do you though?
They're incredibly low, but I got them.
I got them. Oh, man.
All right, well, getting back to the movies, we were talking about Michael B. Jordan, and we were talking about Kevin Feige and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Do you know who the main character of The Eternals is going to be?
I have no clue. I mean, there's like 17 actors in this movie, right?
There's 17 actors, all of which are like A-listers,
right,
or many of them are A-listers. But I want to – I'm going to tell you this news article.
Okay.
But before I do, when we were talking about Nomadland – I did not put two and two together that Chloe Zhao, who just won Best Director and Best Picture for Nomadland, I did not put two and two together that Chloe Zhao directed Eternals.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it came up at some point.
I'm sure that it did. As soon as I was reminded, I was like, oh, yeah.
She's also directing Dracula.
So now she goes from, like, remember we talked last week how much I enjoyed her at the Oscars?
Yeah.
Like, I thought she was cool. She's wearing the sneakers.
Yeah.
Her level of coolness is, like, off the charts now. Because if you can do Nomadland and Eternals and Dracula and wear sneakers to the Oscars,
right,
you're pretty much my favorite.
Look, if you've got comfortable shoes, you shouldn't compromise.
That's all I'm saying. Well, you know what Amy's dad says, my father-in-law. He always, you know, it doesn't matter what kind, whether you're talking about winter shoes or athletic shoes or shoes to the office. He says, if you can't run in them, you shouldn't be wearing them.
Ooh.
Like if you need to run away from somebody, if somebody's chasing you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, okay. So with that all being said.
Yeah.
Kevin Feige has really not been saying a whole lot about the Eternals. But with all the fuss over Chloe Zhao at the Oscars, he was pinned down in an interview and talking about the cast and, you know, the challenge of all the different people doing this. And so is it Gemma Chan?
Yeah.
And her character, Cersei, is apparently, according to Kevin, is the actual lead of the film.
Huh.
Am I saying that right, Cersei?
That's probably Cersei.
Cersei.
I don't know, honestly.
Yeah. So Cersei, according to the guy who would know, the king of Marvel,
yeah.
Cersei is the main character.
We're talking Kevin Feige.
Feige. So yeah. That's news.
Wow. Yeah, it is news. I mean, I'm surprised because she was another character in Marvel. So I think it's kind of cool that they're reusing an actress because she was so heavily in makeup before. They think they can get away with it.
Yeah.
But we know.
Oh. And you know what else is cool about that is I would love if it turns out that he's totally messing with everybody.
Oh.
Like we get into the movie and she's like not at all like the main character.
She gets killed off in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a hell of a way to open it up. But anyway, so The Eternals opens on November 5th of this year.
Well, guess what's not opening this year? It's Morbius.
This is the big one. This is the news that David and I couldn't decide if it was even worth the ink to put it on the screen.
Yeah. But here it is. Morbius got pushed back to January 28th, 2022 from its early January 2022 release. So
it was not early January. It was January 21st.
Oh, it only got pushed back 7 days? I thought it was like...
First of all, who cares? And second of all, it was only 7 days.
Why make that announcement?
I guess so that dopes like you and me would have a reason to mention the word Morbius. We fell for it again.
I hate this movie so much, and I had not even seen it.
We fell for it again.
This is Sony's Venom 2, and it's not even Venom 2.
Oh my God, Sony, please.
Hey. You love zombies. You're always telling me.
Right.
I love zombies. I'm like, Penn, we're talking about something else, but you had to bring zombies up every time.
You can zombies work their way into any conversation ever.
It's true. It's true. George A. Romero's final zombie movie, Twilight of the Dead, it may be brought to reality by his widow. She's apparently working on finishing the script. He had the like plans all planned out before he passed, and she's trying to make it a thing. How do you feel about that?
I guess I care about this a little bit more than I care about Morbius getting pushed back a week.
One time I interviewed the guy that was the helicopter zombie. Look, I didn't know who he was before I interviewed him either. But apparently he's famous for either the first or second one. He's a zombie and there's a helicopter and it chops the top of his head off. And he's really famous for being the helicopter zombie. And I interviewed him and he talked about how amazing it was to be part of these movies. I still don't care.
Yeah. Okay. So that wraps up our news of the week. We started off with announcing the beginning of May and ended with two stories that nobody cares about.
Right. One out of two Orlandos don't care about this story.
Because that's what we do here at the Penn Cinema podcast. All right, trailers. We got four new trailers, and you'll never guess which one is David's trailer of the week.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be everyone's going to be so shocked. They're going to be besides themselves, like rolling in the dirt. Yeah.
So the four movies are The Curse of Humpty Dumpty, which is a horror movie, My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To, which is a horror movie, and the final trailer for Peter Rabbit 2, and a new trailer for Dune. And while you're reviewing the first trailer, I'm going to count how many exclamation points you put at the end of Dune.
So The Curse of Humpty Dumpty seems like something we've seen a million times before, with an extra creepy doll.
Life-size doll.
Yeah. So these two daughters, when I say daughters, but they're like, looks like they're in their 30s or late 20s.
They're adults.
Yeah, adult women take care of their mother who is starting to have bits of Alzheimer's. And this doll shows up at the house and the mom's like, we used to own this doll, but we got rid of it for some reason and I can't remember. And this doll's creepy, tripping people, looks creepy. And then if the doll wasn't creepy enough on its own, eventually, apparently it has some giant mouth with teeth. I don't know why they needed to change the doll. It was already creepy enough. But the doll starts killing people. So, and apparently the whole town knows about it or something. But yeah, this seems pretty exhausting. Oh, Penn, are you awake?
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I was dozing off for a minute there. Yeah. You said at the beginning of this, you said this looks like a movie we've seen a million times. I would edit that to say this looks like a movie we've seen. This looks like a movie we've seen a million times, but not as good.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true.
Yeah, the second movie, which also is pretty unimpressive, is called My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To, which, you know, people love a movie title that has eight or nine words.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah. I thought the premise to this was interesting. The execution is not.
Okay. That's fair. What's the premise? I couldn't tell what was going on.
Oh, it's,
did they have to kill their brother like of Mouse and Men or something?
No. The it's two brothers and a sister.
Again, adults.
Adults. But the one brother is a vampire.
So
the other two family members go out, and it's not clear if they're killing people or just kidnapping them and taking some of their blood, but they're procuring blood for their brother, and they're trying to keep him in the house.
Gotcha.
And he's like getting restless and wants to leave the house, and they're like, no, you can't. And both of them are like, we shouldn't be helping him. Maybe we should get out. It's a good premise. It doesn't look like it's executed very well.
Yeah. The next movie is rated PG for rude humor, rude humor and action.
Oh, Peter Rabbit 2. What did you think of this trailer?
The Runaway.
The Runaway. Oh my gosh.
So I loved this trailer.
I think it's cute.
I'm excited for this movie, and I have a problem.
What's your problem with Penn?
You know what my problem is?
Oh, what is it?
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what my problem is. I have a problem, and I'm going to tell it with you. Okay. I'm going to tell you my problem. Okay. My problem is this. I have a problem with movie titles sequels that put the number 2 in their title and then also have a subtitle. So if you want to say, like, Peter Rabbit, The Runaway, or Peter Rabbit 2, that's fine.
One or the other.
What I'm saying. But this title is apparently called Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway.
What if it was Peter Rabbit 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Oh, I mean, it goes without saying that would be the...
That's okay.
That would be the cat's meow.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the ticket right there. No, I thought this... Unlike, I forget what we talked about last week, but unlike this, unlike the one that we talked about last week, this was the best trailer yet. This is the final trailer before the movie comes out on June 4th, and which is about a month from now because we're in May. Peter Rabbit 2 comes out in the beginning of June. This was the final trailer, and I thought this was the best one yet.
I thought it was good. I liked this trailer. I think I liked it better than the other trailer. It's a little less story heavy, but it has a lot more of the animals and stuff, and I thought that was good.
It's less story heavy, but more characters, like yeah. Character heavy. Like you meet the fox, you meet the pig, you meet, you know, all kinds of other stuff.
A bunch of one-liner jokes.
Yeah, some one-liners. Yeah. It's good stuff. I thought this trailer, Peter Rabbit 2, it's worth checking out, I think. And now, David, the floor is all yours.
So, okay, this is, I mean, Dune, trailer 2.
Dude. I like how close Dune is to Dude. I'm gonna start switching that up and see if anybody notices. Like when I'm talking to my friends, I'm gonna be like, Dune, what are you doing later?
You're gonna be like, remember that movie Dune, Where's My Car?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. This trailer, I thought it was really good. I thought this trailer is, well, let me take that back. I think the first Dune trailer.
Let me say this about that.
Yeah, let me tell you this about that. The first Dune trailer is a masterpiece. This trailer, I thought, was a trailer made to get butts in the seat.
Mm.
It's more of a trailer made for people who have no idea what Dune is, to just kind of like tease them a little bit of like action and stuff, and you know, get them in the seat. Surprise that it's not all that much action, but we'll see what happens when it translates to film. But I did think it was a good trailer. At the same time, this trailer came out weeks ago, and I didn't hear anything about it. I just stumbled across it today when I was putting trailers together. I watched it, and I'll tell you what, Penn, I watched this twice because I was like, is this a real trailer? I don't
know. Is it?
It is. But it was edited in a way that it didn't flow as well as some trailers do. And I was like, this could have been just someone slapping a bunch of clips together and putting music over it. But
what you want, though, it's interesting to me. This is kind of fun for us because I don't think we've ever had a movie. First of all, we've never had a movie that we've spent 400 years looking forward to. And with all the delays, this movie, we spent a good amount of time building up to it, and then it got pushed back, and then it got pushed back again. Yeah. So we've never on this show had a movie that we've been consistently looking forward to for so long. And we've also never had a movie that one of us has been so invested in. Like you want this movie to be huge. I want every movie to make money, and we both want every movie to be good. But you are like, you want this movie to be huge. So with that being said, I would think that you would like this trailer because they need to introduce Dune to a world of people who don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm torn because I think it's good. I just, they're the things I pointed out before, but I also realize, like I said, this is a put butts in the seat thing because it's selling it as a very like intense action driven thing. And Dune is not, it has its moments, but.
Well, maybe you're learning something about what they're going to do with the source material.
Yeah. I mean, they could make it a lot more, you know, they could skip over a lot of the more subtle, you know,
and it's going to be all kinds of action-y.
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminded me, don't hate me. Yeah. Can we just agree ahead of time? Don't hate me for what I'm about to say. But it reminded me of Star Wars. David's head just exploded.
I mean, if it wasn't so difficult, I would have hung up.
I think it's going for that look. It's going for, like, we are going to be the new Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think they should, and I don't think they're going to accomplish that, but I feel like it has a similar vibe. You know, it has really likable non-hero heroes.
Now, this is – I did like – they showed a lot more of the action, a lot more of the characters in this, which really got me excited. This movie is the first half of the book, from what I understand, and they're saying it's pushing 3 hours.
Oh, God. Because that's what we need in the theaters around the holidays is a three-hour title.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Right. So I can crank out two shows a day per auditorium.
Well, you were hoping for like a 20-hour movie so you could just pop some people in there and then just walk away for the rest of the day, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right, well, those are our trailers. Two trailers that sucked, two trailers that were awesome. That's my assessment. I thought – I'm sorry. I didn't share what I thought of it. I thought the Dune trailer was awesome. I thought it was really sweet. Started to flesh out the movie a little bit. So, good stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to our movie this week. We took a gamble. We said, you know what, world? You think this thing is popular? We're going to jump on the bandwagon, or should I say train wagon, and find out what's going on with Demon Slayer, a bunch of words, subcolon, Mugen Train. I didn't realize, like, they got on the train, right? And the title comes up, and it says Mugen Train, and I was like, oh, all this movie is going to take place on this train, isn't it?
All this movie except for the flashbacks.
Yeah, except for the flashbacks and the dreams. It's like, oh, okay, all right.
What did you think of it?
This is hard.
All right, let's back up. You texted me. You were like, I'm coming out. I think it was Saturday night. Might have been Friday night, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to come to this certain show and blah, blah, blah. And I texted you back, eat your Wheaties because it's intense.
Right.
Did you agree with that assessment that it was intense?
I thought the end was.
I feel like – all right, so I'll start. I'll start talking about this.
You go.
The reason why I thought it was intense is because – and I didn't love it. I guess I liked it, but I found it hard to watch because it was like a sports car that kept going from 0 to 60 and then stopping.
Yes.
You know, okay. And then 0 to 60 again and stopping. You know, so these guys would be like talking and they'd be like, you know, I want to be your student. I want to be your student. You know, and then like the head would explode and the eyeballs would pop out and like they'd be screaming. And all throughout the movie, everybody's crying, you know, these big tears that like well up on their cheeks and then like scroll down. And there was no subtlety to this movie whatsoever.
No.
This movie is 0 to 60, stop, reset, 0 to 60, stop, reset, over and over and over and over again.
I had a hard time just like it. We're plunged in and I'm like, oh, so they're not going to even pretend like this is for someone who hasn't watched the past 24 hours of television around it. Like we're just supposed to know what's going, like, is that guy's really wearing a boar head or is his head a boar?
Is he half boar, half man, or is he a guy with a boar costume on?
And no one seems to react, so I don't really understand what's going on. And then the guy's sister's in a box, I guess.
But she's not dead, right?
She's not dead. I guess she's a demon, but she's good. And this guy really wants this random dude to train him, but I don't know why.
And every conversation ends with somebody screaming.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be honest. The movie, they defeat the train, which is the bad guy, and I'm like, oh, okay, so we're done. Like,
over. Let's go.
But now, no, there's another 40 minutes of just some random guy that just like, oh, you thought the movie was over? Well, I've never been mentioned before, but guess what? I'm here now, and we're going to fight to the death. And then guy that they just met on the train.
I think his name was Blondie.
Yeah, Blondie. Yeah, he dies. And then it's so sad.
But before he dies, he delivers a long monologue.
Right, of course.
Right, right. With everybody crying.
Right. But after the main character guy delivers another really long monologue.
Right.
So then he dies and everyone's crying or talking about how they're not crying while they're crying.
Right.
And then a crow flies away and the crow is crying. And the crow flies to a bunch of other people that we have not seen before.
Right.
And tells them that this guy's dead. And they're all like, oh my gosh.
Oh.
Is he? No way. That's impossible. And then
and then they all start crying.
Yeah, and then it flips back to the guy crying at the dead body again because time passes. It right. doesn't, I guess. And he's like, and then it ends. And you're just like, oh, yeah, man, I definitely sat through that.
To use our usual measurement, I did go get a cup of coffee and I did linger at the coffee pot.
Okay. All right.
Because I was like, oh my God.
it was intense. It was long. I was totally lost. I spent more than half the movie trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And
so, but listen to what we're talking about here. Like, yeah. If you listened to our review of this movie, you would never believe that it was the number one movie in the country.
I know.
So the number one movie in the country in America, where we don't know anything, most of us, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when Drew and I saw the really big pre-sale numbers, we were like, oh my God, this movie's going to be huge. But there was a part of us, then Drew said, I wonder if it's just like the fan base,
yeah.
Like the people who are into the comics, you know, like the people who know about Demon Slayer. And I thought to myself, oh yeah, he might be right. That this might be a, like, everybody who knows about Demon Slayer is coming out opening night because they're like David with Dune. They've been looking forward to this movie for a year or two.
Yeah.
They know it got released in Japan. They've probably seen pirated copies on their laptop or whatever, but now it's in their theater and they're going to come out and see it. And that's opening weekend. And that explains the big, huge numbers for opening weekend. But what I'm saying is so shocking is that it crushed all weekend long, not just opening night, and all week long. And now on its second weekend, it's the number one title in America. To me, that says a lot, period. But it super says a lot when you think about what you and I just said, because some of those people that came out and made it the number one movie this weekend, some of those people heard about it from guys like you and me who saw the movie.
Yeah.
And then they decided, oh, you know what? I want to go see that.
I mean, cool on them.
So, David, we have a growing listener base
yeah.
at the Penn Cinema Podcast. And they're all hanging on your every word right now.
Of course.
Joe Blow, run-of-the-mill movie guy or gal, or non-identifying, would you recommend this movie?
I would say, have you ever heard of Demon Slayer? And if they said, yeah, I watched the anime, then I'd say, then you probably should see this movie. And if they said no, then I would say, huh, weird.
You know what I would say? I would say, here's a positive thing about the movie. I felt like I was having a cultural experience. Right? See, I mean, I felt like I was broadening my horizons by watching this movie.
I like anime. And this was like pushing my limits as to what I was like interested in.
Interesting.
I will say some of the most beautiful animation, like when their swords had like water and fire on them, I was just marveling at how liquid that animation really looked and how cool that was.
Or how about when they zoomed out and you saw the train traveling through the woods?
Yeah.
And through the fields or whatever. Like, that quality of that animation was unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So my recommendation would be, if you want to see a movie that's unlike any movie you've ever seen, like, if you want to see something totally outside the norm, this is a good movie for you.
Yeah.
See, to is me, that this, where you would...
This wasn't outside the norm, because I've seen many anime films that follow this, like, that would be very similar, just not this story. And I think that's what was frustrating to me, is I had no idea what the story was, and it was very much made to be, like, a bridge. Because from what I read, the first season came out, then there's this movie, and then the second season picks up right after the movie.
Hmm. Classic.
I know.
All right. Well, I think this movie is going to introduce anime to a whole... I think it already has introduced anime to a whole nother population.
That could be true. Yeah. So what's on the docket for next week?
Well, next week we have, I think the obvious choice would be the big new movie called Wrath of Man with our Jason Statham friend. But in Lititz, we're also opening a cute little movie called Here Today, which stars Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish. So do you want to see the Wrath of Man is likely going to open and become the number one movie. You want to see that?
I really want to see Wrath of Man. What's this other one called?
Here Today. And it's a really cute sort of... It appeals to an older demographic, and it's Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish.
I want to see that too.
They're sort of like an oddball, you know.
Yeah, I remember we looked at the couple. Trailer. How long is that going to stick around?
At least 2 weeks.
Because the following week is Spiral, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I don't want to see that movie.
All right, so we'll watch Wrath of Man, and then we'll watch next week. We'll watch Here Today.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
That's great, man. That's two solid weeks in a row. I'm psyched.
Yeah, sweet deal. All right, so moving on to listener notes, questions, answers, and absurd comments. We didn't have many this week. Actually, we only had one. Frodo wrote in, and she appreciated the tip from Penn to go check out the Oscars, where the was it the director from Seoul?
I don't know if he was. Was he a director or one of the. Whatever. Whoever he was a cool guy. Yeah. And we talked on the show about what a very genuine, authentic acceptance speech he gave. And, you know, Penn Cinema podcast listeners are not your ordinary, like, they don't just go, huh, that's cool. They go to YouTube and pull up the clip and watch the.
Yeah.
Watch the acceptance speech. That's what we expect of you guys, and just so we're clear.
She doesn't normally watch Oscar stuff, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So good on Frodo checking that out. So what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing this week? What's been going on in the wonderful wide world of Penn Ketchum?
Okay. Real quick, before I tell you what I'm watching and reading.
Okay.
I've been training for triathlon.
Okay.
And one thing that came up this week is that I don't know how to ride my bike.
Okay.
So I was talking to my coach about some subtleties around my training, and he said that's because you don't know how to ride your bike.
What? But you've ridden an Ironman and stuff, right?
I have ridden hundreds of miles in single ventures. In total, I've ridden tens of thousands of miles. But on any given day, I've ridden. Just this morning, I rode 35 miles. Yesterday, I rode 60 miles. Earlier in the week, I rode 28 miles. Like, I ride my bike all the time, and I thought I was a pretty advanced cyclist.
Right.
But it turns out.
So what are you doing wrong?
Apparently everything, David, if you must know.
Oh, you know what? I bet I know what it is. Those things on either side, those are pedals. You're not just supposed to, you're not just supposed to walk with it in between your legs.
Damn.
Got him.
Got him. All right. So I've been training a lot. So that's why that was on top of my mind. And I spent the weekend going back and forth with my coach about why I don't know how to ride my bike. But I also had a lot of shifts in Ephrata this week. And during those shifts, I watched Falcon and the Snowman, which I always want to call it that. But I'm talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Did you finish?
I have not finished, but I almost texted you because the more you get into the show, first of all, the better the story is. And second of all, the dialogue on this show is unbelievable.
It's good, right?
So good. Yeah. I literally laughed out loud like any number of times. Not that it's funny. It's not a comedy.
No.
But like the repartee between the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
like when he's like, oh, we think he might be one of the big three, and he's like, the big three, the aliens, androids, or wizards. And he's like, there's no such thing as wizards. And they go back and forth, and then they, he said, well, if he's not an alien or an android, who are you chasing, Gandalf? And the guy gives him some, you know, smart comeback, and then he goes, well, I read The Hobbit.
Back when it came out.
Yeah, right. That's what he said. I read it in 1937 when it came out. I just saw it, and there's so many moments like that. It's such a good show. I'm really thoroughly enjoying it. And then I haven't really gotten into this other show yet, but Amy is into it, and we're going to – she only watched one episode, so we're going to rewatch the first episode together. And the show I'm talking about is called Louder Milk, which is the name of this, I think, the star of the show, the journalist or something. And anyway, so the show is called Louder Milk. I think it's on Amazon, and we're pretty excited about it.
Wow. There you go. Well, I have been reading Kingdom of Ash by Sarah J. Maas, still reading Lore, which I talked about last week. But the big thing I've been reading and watching, because the finale came out this week, is Invincible. And I read about 3/4 of that compendium I showed you that's like over 1,000 pages long. I will probably start the third and final volume today. It's gotten really good. I really liked it. I want to say, like, I don't know if it's your cup of tea, Penn.
Right.
It might not be.
A lot of reading?
No. The show.
Oh, gotcha.
It's animated.
Yeah.
And you'd look at it and be like, oh, this is maybe not my cup of tea. But then at the end of it, it's more like The Boys. Did you watch The Boys?
Yeah.
It's more like The Boys than it is what you would think. So I don't want to spoil it, but I would be interested to see if you watched the first episode, if it was something you'd want to continue down. I thought the finale did a really good job. So.
All right. Well, I'm pretty committed to finishing Falcon and the Snowman.
Yeah. The Falcon, the Birdman and the Snowman.
Right. Birdman and the Winter Snowman. But yeah, that sounds cool. You've been talking about this show a lot, so that's great that it's kind of living up to what you had hoped.
Yeah. They renewed it for 2 more seasons, so we'll see what happens.
Damn.
I am pumped to see Wrath of Man. I said last night to my companions, I said, you would not believe the beef Penn has with Jason Statham. I said, I'm going to have to pull teeth to get us to watch this movie, Wrath of Man. It's going to be one of the hardest things I've ever done. And here you were. You were ready to go.
Here I am.
Making sacrifices for the podcast, left, right, and center.
What I don't do for this show.
I know, right? Well, that brings us to the end of the show. You know, if you want to be a part of the show, number one way you can do this, go ahead and shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com, or hit us up on our Facebook page. We'll see what you put there as well. But if you want to support the show, Penn, what is the number one way people can do that?
Well, the easy way is to tell a friend.
Yeah.
Tell a friend about the show. But, you know, there's something interesting happening. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Oh, I probably have not.
You may have. But, you know, what's coming up this weekend is Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday, friends, don't forget. Get a card. So here's what a lot of people are doing. They're skipping the Mother's Day card, and instead they're mailing a letter to their mom being like, well, they're not skipping the Mother's Day card. They're putting in the Mother's Day. You like buy the nice card, and on the front it's like a rose or like a heart or like something is written usually like in script, you know, with all kinds of flourishes and whatnot, Happy Mother's Day. And then on the inside, you write in there, hey, mom. Don't forget to listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Like the front says something along the lines of like, you were always there for me. Now let me be, and then you open up and says, now let me be there for you. Go listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so that's what a lot of people are doing, but some people are taking it to the next level.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And what they're doing is they're actually mailing Mother's Day cards to Penn Cinema. 541 Airport Road in Lititz, Pennsylvania, 17543. And they're mailing Mother's Day cards to Penn Cinema that say, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast. And then what I'm doing is I'm taking those and delivering them to mothers in need. Like, if there's a mother who I know their son is a slacker, and he's like, he or she is like not going to deliver like a good Mother's Day card, then I'm taking these cards that are already beginning to trickle in. You know, we're already keeping a stash of them, and I'm delivering them.
Talk about a community service.
David, again, you know, it's what I do. I'm a giver.
Yeah. You'll watch anime, you'll watch Jason Statham, and you'll deliver Mother's Day cards.
I'll deliver Mother's Day cards to moms whose sons are slackers.
And you can always tell which ones it is, too.
Right. I have to say, me and my brother have always done a good job of, like, making sure that one of us remembers.
Yeah. 50% ratio is still pretty good.
Right. Yeah. We're like the Orlandos, you know.
Yeah.
One out of two of us will remember, and the 50% of us forget.
But do you cover for the other?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
We got you this thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Anything that comes to mom from either one of us, all year long, I'm talking Christmas, birthday, Mother's Day, anything, Valentine's Day, anything that comes from either one of us to mom is signed Love, Penn, and Breck. Or Breck and Penn or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So, and then she always writes both of us back. Hey, sends an email. You know, thank you, boys. That was so nice. Thanks for telling me about the Penn Cinema podcast.
Now, how often do you get that email or letter or whatever, and you're like, what in the world is this about?
That has happened. Yes. But usually part of covering for each other is like my brother will drop me a line, and sometimes I cover for him, so I'll drop him a line and say like, hey, I sent mom flowers, you know, it signed our name.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
It's good. I'm lucky to have a good brother like that. So
I mean, as a single child, man, I got a lot of weight to pull. I don't have anyone to fall back on like that.
No, there's no backup plan.
Right?
You drop the ball, that ball is dropped.
It's on the ground, it's rolling.
It's on the ground.
You're bent over chasing it, you know?
Right, you're going to trip over it.
Yeah.
And fall and break your back. And then you're going to be in the hospital getting a sponge bath from some hot nurse, and she's going to be like, hey, David, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast. Right. And then you're going to scream, and it's going to go to credits. And that's going to be the end of the movie, David Moulton story. I have a handful of chowder and a foot in my mouth, David Moulton story. And now, I'm sorry for the spoiler alert. That's how the movie
ends. How it ends. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, once again, for the Pencil of Podcast, David Moulton, old.
And I'm Ned Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.